This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Hi, good morning to you, Johnny, and very good late afternoon over at my end in Asia.
Now, over the weekend, we saw a few skirmishes in the Middle East with some military action on both sides from the USA to Iran, from Iran to the United States. How have markets reacted? I mean, looking at the numbers, Kelvin, the oil price remains steady and still at pre-war levels, and markets are reasonably steady as well.
Yes, precisely. So if you look at the situation right now, I think markets participate a bit fatigued over the situation between US and Iran. Yes, we have a bit of tit-for-tat skirmish between both sides on Friday, where US responded to Iran's alleged drone attack on a particular oil tanker that sailed through the Strait of Hormuz. So then thereafter, Iran's do a tit-for-tat offensive measures by attacking various Gulf states' oil production facilities in the coastal area. So that give a bit of harsh remarks coming up from US President Trump on Friday, indicating that Iran is kind of voiding that so-called temporary peace deal agreement that was settled last week. However, at the start of today's Asia session, very interestingly, that is actually right before 6:30 a.m. Singapore time, we have both sides kind of confirming that they will stop this mini tension that took place on last Friday and continues to focus on the roadmap that was kind of agreed upon last week, which is a slew of negotiation / technical talks that will kickstart a kind of a 60-day period starting from late last week to finalize a permanent peace deal between US and Iran. So markets kind of struck off this tit-for-tat tension that has taken shape on last Friday. And we don't see any much movement on the global markets today. So you look at the West Texas crude oil as we are speaking right now, they are still trapped between a sideways range, still relatively low, around 70.70 or 70.80 US dollar per barrel. And we see them capping below the 200-day moving average that got broken down last week, which is acting as a near-term resistance at around 75.25 US dollar per barrel.
Yeah, still steady. But when you look at the numbers over the last year or so, that's still at pre-war levels, Kelvin. But nonetheless, if you look at the year-to-date figures, it's nearly 19% higher.
Yes, precisely. So what market is also focusing on will be the secondary impact on such higher oil prices, that means the knock-on impacts on other, we call it products, like other components of the CPI data or the PCI inflation data, where eventually we may start to see the lagging impact of sticky inflation coming into the wider economy. So if you look at the situation right now as being priced in by the Fed Funds Futures traders, which is based on data from the CME Fed Watch 2, these traders are still looking for a potential interest rate hike by the Fed not cut to come in as early as September and October this year. And right now, there's also a 50% chance that the second rate hike may come into Q1 of next year.
It's a busy week coming up, although in the United States, it's going to be a shorter working week because they've got their big July the 4th celebrations. There's a public holiday on Friday. Of course, it's the 250th anniversary of the founding of America. But we do have some important data on Thursday from the United States with the latest non-farm payroll jobs numbers.
Yes, precisely. So before I talk about this non-farm payroll data, let's have a couple of data to take note of as well for the global markets. So what we have on this Wednesday, we have the preliminary Eurozone inflation data. So for the core inflation, market participants are still looking for a sticky number on the upside at 2.6% year on year, a similar pace of 2.6% that was printed on the month of May. So if we start to see the numbers getting slightly higher than 2.6%, let's say at 2.7, 2.8%, we may see the recent 2 weeks plus of euro dollar weakness to stabilize a bit. But nevertheless, in FX markets, things are relative. So if we start to see continuation of hawkish pricing by Fed Funds futures traders on a medium-term perspective, i.e. that means we're talking about from a multi-week perspective, the downtrend of the euro dollars still could be potentially remains intact. Then also on Wednesday, we have another U.S. Data to chew on will be this ISM manufacturing PMI data for the month of June. So market participants will be focusing on some of the subcomponents of the ISM manufacturing PMI, especially on those ISM manufacturing prices. So these are constituted as input prices, that means i.e. manufacturing company in US cost of business. All right. So if we start to see the prior trend of these ISM prices paid, what we call input prices, there has been on the upside very steadily in the past 6 to 7 months, or I would say. So previously it went to almost kind of a 3-year high of 84.6 in April, so that's something like a 3-year high. Then thereafter, it's kind of stabilized at around 82 in May. And this time around, market participants are looking to slide down slightly lower to 79. So if we start to see going above expectation, especially hitting at the 84 level and 85 level again, that means that represent a higher import cost that is still prevailing in the manufacturing sector or the manufacturing businesses in the US economy, and that could continue to keep this potential US Federal Reserve rate height at a higher probability coming into the later part of this year, which is in September or October, and perhaps also starts to increase the odds of the second rate height that may be coming into the Q1 of next year. So if such scenario materializes, we may start to see rather firming up of the US dollar. So we know that in the past few years, firming up a US dollar represents a global liquidity tightening situation, and that could create a negative feedback loop into the global stock market, especially last week or last Monday. At the same time, around this timing, we start to see a tremendous slide in this highly speculative AI play, which is in Korea, South Korea, where the Kospi slipped by negative 10% or so. And if that scenario potentially happens again due to a rather firming up of increased bets of looking for the US Federal Reserve to hike the second time next year, that could create a negative feedback loop into the global markets or the global stock market, I would say. And to sum up, we also have this key labor market data out from US, which is on Thursday. We mentioned earlier the non-farm payroll data. So if you look at the US job market, it's been kind of a healthy pace of the number of jobs added. So on the average, since the start of this year, January, they'll be hovering around 150K jobs added per month. All right. So last month, for the month of May, they added 172 jobs per added. So that actually kind of surpassed expectation of 85K. So this time around, market is so looking at a very kind of a relatively not so high number. It's about 110K jobs added. All right. So that number could be easily surpassed as well, given what we see in the last couple of months, where the number of jobs added has been hovering steady around 150K. So that being said, if this number turns out as expected, coming at 150K, it actually implies that the US labor market is still rather resilient of what has taken shape since the start of this year, which is the US-Iran conflict that hasn't kind of derailed average jobs hiring in the United States.
Excellent stuff, Calvin. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again next week.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.